Matthias being absent right now, I'll just take the opportunity of introducing the next speaker. Jaroslav Kristela is, I think, one of the main authors of ALSA, besides Takashi, whom we just heard before. And as I understood it, your talk will be ALSA Always on the Run, which sounds like developments and whatever you plan for the future, right? Okay, then. Sorry?
One, two, three, do you read me? It's okay? Fine. So, I'd like to start. First, I am really glad that I am here and I see too much people interested and involved in Linux audio development. I think that most of us uses ALSA already, and I am very happy that this my child is so heavy used, and that my time isn't spent in some dustbin or something like this. So thank you all of you, and I'd like to you see the structure of my talk. I will discuss some topics from ALSA driver development and also ALSA libraries. I will discuss some application interfaces and mainly how things are going and some special things which we implemented in last weeks. So, firstly, I will discuss because we maintain also 2.5 kernel 3, which contains ALSA driver. Then we need to have some good synchronization between our CVS 3 and BitKeeper 3, which uses Linux for development. And at first we maintain only this 2.5 kernel 3. We don't maintain 2.4 because it's not our goal and we have no resources or power to do this. The main step to do this maintenance was separating sources to ALSA driver and ALSA kernel directories. That means that we have compatibility wrappers and ARM build system, I mean ARM make files and configure script and so on. Including alpha or beta drivers or some other codes in the ALSA driver directory, and ALSA kernel directory contains only raw 2.5 code. This code is really clean in the sense that you can copy this code directly into 2.5 kernel and you will get the latest ALSA version in this kernel, so it really mirrors the ALSA kernel 3 and versa wise. I mean that it's very good for the synchronization of sources. I wrote my own synchronization tool, which it names K-Sense. This tool allows me to create divs. I mean, this tool creates file which shows what was changed in the kernel tree and what was changed in ARC tree, and then I mostly manually merge these patches, because both of trees are independent in the sense that Linux might merge some of other patches which other kernel developers send him, and because the communication between developers are mostly not clear, although there is some consensus that all subsystem maintainers have to look at new patches. It's not really true, and Linux accepts also unrevisit or patches from some other people. But it's also true that these patches are mostly maintained. It means that if something cannot be compiled under 2.5 kernel, then Linux probably accepts some page which fix this problem. Our BitKeeper repository is also at the bkbits.net. You will see this address at the bottom of this page. Next topic is hot plug support. It can be also called disconnection, because plugin is quite easy thing. You have almost everything static, and if you have built drivers as modules, then only modules have to be inserted to kernel and everything is done, because probing and initialization and init code is in already in modules. But what happens if some card is running and somebody removes this sound card? If you have a static driver, then you will get NIPS, OOPS or something like this, so it's not really good for end users, because they don't want to see crashing machines and to reboot computers. So we had to take care about this thing. It's the hot plug support is thing for USB and PCMCI devices. Also, we need to take care about PCI hot plug, but I haven't seen this sound card, but it's true that card bus sound cards also uses this layer, so we will have to support this hot plug method as well. So what we do to support the disconnection? We added a new callback which is called disconnect to our operations for device component. With this callback we can notify the components that interface, I mean USB or PCMCI, will no longer talk with this component, and that all operations should be detached. It means that no response is expected from the device. There are three. Also, there is a global disconnect function in the ASA driver, because the mid-level code takes care about allocation and managing of hard devices. Then we need to implement this function there. So the three disconnect phases are at first detach open file callbacks. It means that no new application or new requests from applications are accepted from the driver. Then we have to detach all file callbacks except release, and we have to use a special poll. It means that open file descriptors are only released without any other operations, and special poll defines only or returns only error code. So, but if application is waiting on the driver and uses poll, then the driver component have to call the or have to notify the application that device is going down via another method. And the third phase is the notification of all code components about this connection. It's the last phase for the disconnection phase or disconnection procedure. Then we have a new function in mid-level layer in driver, which waits for all open file descriptors and waits for the time when all of these file descriptors are released, I mean closed in terminology of user space. Well, I like to demonstrate that our code really works and that we can really disconnect running hardware. I have here VX Pocket 2 sound card. It's PCMSF sound card from Digigram, and so I will show that if I begin to play some sound, and if I if I eject the sound card from computer, that my laptop is still running. I can work on this laptop as usual, and you will see that my application, which ePlay utility, will get timeout after some seconds. And also I can show that if you will see here the thread which waits for all application that or all opened file descriptor that they are freed or closed. I don't know why the application isn't because we have in drop. Okay. I was too late. But you will see that if I close the application manually, that the free thread also disappeared. So now the system is ready to accept new. I can plug the hardware again, and you will see that it works. And try it. I will see that I have the PCMC card again ready for operation. I'm here. I'm in a working state. I can demonstrate the same with the USB sound card, but I think that it is not necessary. So then I want to discuss the base of. The background of our managing of sound card components, its structure SND device T. It allows us grouping of components per card. It means that some cards are very complicated. They have a lot of components, the initial purpose was that if we have to free all these components, if we have to deallocate all used components by hand, it was not very good, and the code was very big, and it was not good looking. So we put this manager to the mid-level code, and we assigned also additional purposes to this manager. It also takes care about registering after allocation. It means that at first phase we built everything. We built all components. We probe hardware, and when all was successful, when we have enough memory to bring the sound card to some working state, then all components are called again, and they register the hard devices, which its final stage to put the driver to online, or after this stage, application can communicate with the driver. Also, when the hotbar question arises, then we put the disconnect callback into this structure, and we can notify all components that device is going down. Here's an example. You see that the top level, or we have a structure which is a container for one card. This card can have multiple chips. Also, some other components like AC97 codecs, PCM devices, Romini devices, timer devices, sequencer clients, and so on. And these components, which are assigned to a card, can have different callbacks. The most important callback is free callback. It deallocates and frees all used memory from these components. And also we have register and disconnect callbacks. as I said before, the register callback registers all core devices to in the kernel, and thus allows access to this device from user space, and disconnect callback notifies all notifies the component about that this component the card the sound card is going down. Also, we manage three states per component or per sound device. The first state is built. It means that device has been assigned to a card. The next state is registered. It means that the device is operational. It means that it was registered as a hard device, and third state disconnected means that device is going down and can't respond to any events from user space because it might be important the order of calling the three callbacks. Then we have three levels of three calls or three levels of the first one is pre. It means that these devices will be freed as first. It means that mostly chip components are freed as first because we don't want longer communicate with hardware. The normal level is the pre-level means that mostly the top level, it means sound card modules are removed from from the ASA driver as first. The normal level means that chips or chip components are removed at this point. And the post level means that the low level components, also chips, are removed at this point. So, firstly, sound card is removed, then interface is removed, and at the last point, the chip is removed. Because it's important to remove the access to hardware as last. What we plan in ASA driver in near future? The big question is 2.5 PNP layer support. This layer has been recoded, I think, half of a year ago, and the maintainer of the new code doesn't retain all functionality of my old ISAP PMP code, and it's the communication with him is a bit slow and difficult, but it seems that the first acceptable code will be integrated soon, so and I think that it is integrated in this time to BitKeeper 3 to Linux BitKeeper 3, and I think that I will change the ASA ISAP PMP drivers soon to follow these new interfaces, because I don't want to maintain two different interfaces for ISAP-MP. Also, next goal is to move the instrument layer from the sequencer application API from the kernel space to the user space, but we have to retain compatibility, of course. Then I'd like to see working wavetable drivers, especially for Trident and maybe for old, but I think still good, Gravis ultrasound sound cards. And Paul noticed in also the mailing list that we should use more tasklets instead of system timer instances. I think that it's a good idea, and we have to follow 2.5 kernel 3, of course. Then the second part of my talk will be about ASA library. The ASA library is designed mainly as hardware abstraction layer. We want to have possibility to redirect all things, not only to hardware, but we can do some next interesting jobs with this abstraction. So the main goal is that application should take care what's behind of some opened or some handle of. I think that it's important. Takashi already noticed that there is a bit problematic if we define only kernel API, and then we have trouble, for example, to emulate old open source system API, because the dynamic libraries or hack via LD preload isn't very nice, and but it works, of course. And also we are using plugins. I think that it's a great way to add the extra functionality to our library. And also it also we need it because there, for example, open sound system application interfaces define some compatibility layers. I mean that there was, for example, format conversions inside kernels and so on, but we moved this code to ASA library. That it's big difference between open source system and between ASA. What we do with PCM plugins, I think that Takashi explained it very well. We can change formats, change rate, change channels, and so on. We can create virtual devices. We can redirect all all things over, for example, over network, and we can do this for all application interfaces, not only for PCM. We also have the ASA library is configured with special, but I think the modern language configuration language. this syntax or syntax of this language allows nesting and array assignments. We also built on top this syntax things like runtime evaluating and device definition. runtime evaluating, that there are 2 points at this time. It's we can use different functions there, and also we have hooks. It means that we can extend the loaded structure of source from source file at runtime dynamically. It means we use this feature. For example, if you load the default configuration, there might be configuration special for given card, which is actually inserted to computer or to system, and then we determine the driver, which driver is used for this card, and then we load on demand the additional information about this driver. It means, for example, definitions about SPDIF configuration, what have to be set up when user requests abstract SPDIF device or surround device and so on. But these configurations are available this time only for PCM devices, but I think that we will extend these configurations for mixers and all other interfaces as well. Also, we have unified definitions of device names or virtual devices it means that we have standard or unified method to pass arguments to these devices. Here's example definition of PCM device R. It uses plugin, but restricts the rate to 84,000 hertz. So you will see that we can define different arguments. It means these five lines are definitions that there will be only one argument which names is rate, and the type of this argument is integer, and default value is 49,000 in this context hertz. We will this defines the type of the slave plugin. In this case, it is plug, and then we define parameters for the slave plugin. It means name of slave device for plugin, and we pass parameter rate, and we pass also argument for this PCM to next device. I think that what is interesting here, you will see that we have standard identification for all application or interfaces, PCM, timer, raw media, and so on. Then That is always always name of new defined device, and everything is in the sense on the left is the name of variable, on the right is value of the variable. It means that PCM is name of a compound variable. Dot means that we will define only one member of this compound, which name is R, and then these blocks mean that this is context of compound which names R, and in the same sense is defined the wall blocks. I mean, you will see arguments. These special brackets means that it's an array. It means that the first member of array is right, and I think that it's all. It's we can simply include anywhere any information from some other place. The future of ASA library in the sense of configuration is that we want to implement runtime configuration. The current configuration files are parsed and processed only at open call, but some parameters like channel volume or routing stuff or something like this might be changed at runtime. The question is if the existing control API isn't good for this job. I think the major benefit is that all Mixer applications can control the runtime parameters. So we don't need new application to do this job. And the question is the implementation, if we might use or if we will create a kernel extension which will root the control operations among tasks or if we will manage all things in ASA library. So I think that these questions are open, and we'll see what we implement in future. I think that it's a good opportunity to discuss this this behavior on ASA mailing list, and perhaps we can do some consensus to avoid some dead path or something like this. And also, as Takashi mentioned, it's mostly wanted to implement some graphical interface for users to create ASA library configuration in some easy way. I think that ASA library can do many things, but users don't know about these things. It's a bit pity because I think that we spend a lot of hours to in this library, and so well, the last thing in my talk, it's a bit hot topic, the DMix plugin. All standard users want to share one exclusive device because hardware companies are spending their buckets to develop very cheap hardware which don't accelerate sound in any way. I mean that they offer only to route one stream to converters. And it's all, and but users ask us why two concurrently running applications don't work in most cases. Or if they work, they have some latency problems because some server is used and so on. So the client and server mechanism for this job is nice and will be nice when computers have a lot of power to do this job and no other applications will run on computer. Because you have in other cases you have latency problems, you have scheduling problems because it depends very much on the quality of scheduler and of the settings of scheduler. And I came with idea. I had this idea, I think 2 years, but I haven't time to implement it. That we can do this mixing directly in the DMI buffer. I think that it's a good idea for standard users because applications are not interfered or not they don't need any way of synchronization between or among them. So, but you need. On the other side, we need to solve or little detail or many little details to successfully mix streams from concurrently running applications which don't know which don't synchronize between or among. The first thing is saturation. Saturation, it means that we need a bit bigger resolutions to store the sum value or some sample from all tasks. I will show I will explain this situation in the next on next page. Also, we need to use some lock-free algorithm. It means that this algorithm may be interrupted by system's schedule at any point, but the result must be correct in all cases. Of course, this algorithm is always more expensive than algorithm which uses standard logs, but it's much more latency responsible. Because there is no special time for scheduling and context switching and so on. But also we need to file silence to hardware buffer in interrupt because there is no task which manages the ring buffer as master, then there is only one place, and it's driver which can fill silence to hardware buffer, or to DMI buffer. Also, each applications or each task must do synchronization between hardware and some buffer because they are all independent and they must do this job separately. Also, we use some instruction and we are not sure if they will not cause some portability problems, but it's especially for assembler coders, CMP, it means instruction which compares and exchanges value in memory, and also probably significant slowdown is that if we use prefix which guarantee atomic operation on some instruction in our comparison it shows that SMP code is 2 times slower than code for single processor. Okay, so here is algorithm for our DMIX plugin. You will see all jobs which are necessary to update hardware buffer, some buffer. Some buffer is used for saturation, and so in the beginning you will see that we need to compare the hardware buffer while special atomic operation that if in this buffer isn't silence. If this in this buffer silence, we need to subtract the old sum value from the current sample. And in other cases, we will always add this value to some buffer. And this loop means that this loop guarantee us that sample in the hardware buffer will be good in hardware buffer. We also do in this loop saturation. This picture shows mixing algorithm when we use only values, also 8-bit values. Here is saturation. It means that in some buffer might be bigger value than the maximum limit of hardware's buffer. There are some sample values, and you will see that there are example for 3 applications. There are different values, and you will see the operations for all applications. The left values are values before before the DMIX plugin operated on some end hardware ring buffer, and on the right the red values are the result of the operation. Here are partial results. I think that I wanted to show with these results that it's totally or we can expect the interrupt from a system schedule at any point. So the algorithm is designed to retain or to compute the final values the algorithm is designed that the final result will be always correct. So it's really the algorithm don't take or can be interrupted in at any point. And maybe I can show some demonstration of DMX plugin. maybe one comment on this. Although we don't use some client server method for the final as processing for processing of stream data, we have to use of course some process which will manage the communication and resources. I mean some, for example, some ring buffer, shared memory, semaphores, and this process starts with the first client and exits with last. And so finally the demonstration. I will use the USB sound card, which is this small sound card. So I think that everybody heard that there were two streams played at once, and I must see for, or I must confirm that we used sound card which can open only one stream. Perhaps you can see that this audio USB audio device is capable to play only one stream, one stereo stream. So I think that if I finished. Any questions, please?
Any questions from the audience on this? There is one.
Thank you. Maybe that's a more practical question. These USB sound cards are already supported in the latest version? So in the stable version?
Yes. I'm using a stable version on this computer. We had some fix for disconnect in CVS, but I think that for normal operation that there are no problems for USB hardware in 0.9.1 version, so you can use it.
Okay, any more questions? Okay, then so what I just like to add is, so this is USB audio, and I can, from personal experience, state that also USB MIDI works quite nicely. This box up here is a 6-port MIDI in, MIDI out box from Yamaha, a UX256. I bought it about 4-6 weeks ago, and I wasn't quite sure if it would work. I just plugged it in. The hot plug manager came up. The module was loaded. There are my six USB port, six MIDI ports. It works pretty much out of the box, so kudos. Great stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so let's thank you, Karoslav. And the next talk will be at 5:30 in 15 minutes. Again, Paul Davis, this time on Jack, the Jack Audio Connection Kit.